Today is the 19th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. How are you today? I'm fine. I'm fine. It's hot here in Tennessee, but things are going well. I hope they are well wherever you might be, and that we might all remember that it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And may we find it, and may we walk in it as we take the next step forward together. Yesterday, we began the book of Esther, and we talked about that. Today, we will take the next step forward in Esther, and then tomorrow, we will conclude the book of Esther. And so, we kind of have the lay of the land. A queen of Persia named Vashti was deposed. A Jewish queen was installed in her place. Her name was Hadassah, or Esther, but nobody knows she's a Jew. Her uncle Mordecai has saved the life of the king. He too is a Jew, but a man named Haman has been elevated to very, very high rank in the kingdom, and everybody's supposed to bow down to Haman. Mordecai won't do that. Haman decides to destroy all the Jews in the Persian Empire. The king of Persia has agreed, not understanding fully that he has a Jewish queen at his side. And so edicts are sent out throughout the empire telling of this day, the 13th day of the 12th month, where everybody's supposed to kill the Jews and take all their stuff. And so we left our reading yesterday with the city of Susa, the citadel capital city, in an uproar over this edict that has been sent out throughout the empire, while the king and Haman sit down to drink. And that's where we pick up the story. Today, Esther, chapters 4 through 7. Now when Mordecai became aware of all that had been done, he tore his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes. He went out into the city crying out in a loud and bitter voice, but he went no farther than the king's gate, for no one was permitted to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. Throughout each and every province where the king's edict and law were announced, there was considerable mourning among the Jews, along with fasting, weeping, and sorrow. Sackcloth and ashes were characteristic of many. When Esther's female attendants and her eunuchs came and informed her about Mordecai's behavior, the queen was overcome with anguish. Although she sent garments for Mordecai to put on so that he could remove his sackcloth, he would not accept them. So Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been placed at her service, and instructed him to find out the cause and reason for Mordecai's behavior. So Hathach went to Mordecai at the plaza of the city in front of the king's gate. Then Mordecai related to him everything that had happened to him, even the specific amount of money that Haman had offered to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to be destroyed. He also gave him a written copy of the law that had been disseminated in Susa for their destruction, so that he could show it to Esther and talk to her about it. He also gave instructions that she should go to the king to implore him and petition him on behalf of her people. So Hathach returned and related Mordecai's instructions to Esther. Then Esther replied to Hathach with instructions for Mordecai. All the servants of the king and the people of the king's provinces know that there is only one law applicable to any man or woman who comes uninvited to the king in the inner court. That person will be put to death unless the king extends to him the gold scepter, permitting him to be spared. Now, I have not been invited to come to the king for some 30 days. When Esther's reply was conveyed to Mordecai, he said to take back this answer to Esther. Don't imagine that because you are part of the king's household, you will be the one Jew who will escape. If you keep quiet at this time, liberation and protection for the Jews will appear from another source, while you and your father's household perish. It may very well be that you have achieved royal status for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go. Assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast on my behalf. Don't eat and don't drink for 3 days, night or day. My female attendants and I will also fast in the same way. Afterward, I will go to the king, even though it violates the law. If I perish, I perish." So Mordecai set out to do everything that Esther had instructed him. It so happened that on the third day, Esther put on her royal attire and stood in the inner court of the palace, opposite the king's quarters. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the palace, opposite the entrance. When the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she met with his approval. The king extended to Esther the gold scepter that was in his right hand, and Esther approached and touched the end of the scepter. The king said to her, "What is on your mind, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even as much as half the kingdom will be given to you." Esther replied, "If the king is so inclined, let the king and Haman come today to a banquet that I have prepared for the king." The king replied, "Find Haman quickly so that we can do as Esther requests." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. While at the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your request? It shall be given to you. What is your petition? Ask for as much as half the kingdom, and it shall be done." Esther responded, "My request and my petition is this. If I have found favor in the king's sight, and if the king is inclined to grant my request and approve my petition, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet that I will prepare for them. At that time I will do as the king wishes." Now Haman went forth that day pleased and very much encouraged. But when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate, and he did not rise or tremble in his presence, Haman was filled with rage toward Mordecai. But Haman restrained himself and went on to his home. Then he sent for his friends to join him, along with his wife Zeresh. Haman then recounted to them his fabulous wealth, his many sons, and how the king had magnified him and exalted him over the king's other officials and servants. Haman said, "Furthermore, Queen Esther invited only me to accompany the king to the banquet that she prepared, and also tomorrow I am invited along with the king. Yet all this fails to satisfy me, so long as I have to see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Haman's wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Have a gallows 75 feet high built, and in the morning tell the king that Mordecai should be hanged on it. Then go with the king to the banquet contented." It seemed like a good idea to Haman, so he had the gallows built. Throughout that night, the king was unable to sleep, so he asked for the book containing the historical records to be brought. As the records were being read in the king's presence, it was found written that Mordecai had disclosed that Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the entrance, had plotted to assassinate King Ahasuerus. The king asked, "What great honor was bestowed on Mordecai because of this?" The king's attendants who served him responded, "Not a thing was done for him." Then the king said, "Who is that in the courtyard?" Now Haman had come to the outer courtyard of the palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had constructed for him. The king's attendant said to him, "It is Haman who is standing in the courtyard." The king said, "Let him enter." So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What should be done for the man whom the king wishes to honor?" Haman thought to himself, "Who is it that the king would want to honor more than me?" So Haman said to the king, "For the man whom the king wishes to honor, let them bring royal attire which the king himself has worn, and a horse on which the king himself has ridden, one bearing the royal insignia. Then let this clothing and this horse be given to one of the king's noble officials. Let him then clothe the man with whom the king wishes to honor, and let him lead him about through the plaza of the city on the horse, calling before him, 'So shall it be done for the man whom the king wishes to honor.'" The king then said to Haman, "Go quickly, take the clothing and the horse just as you have described, and do, as you just indicated, to Mordecai the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Don't neglect a single thing of all that you have said." So Haman took the clothing and the horse, and he called Mordecai. He led him about on the horse throughout the plaza of the city, calling before him, "So shall it be done to the man whom the king wishes to honor." Then Mordecai again sat at the king's gate, while Haman hurried away to his home, mournful and with a veil over his head. Haman then related to his wife Zeresh and to all his friends everything that had happened to him. These wise men, along with his wife Zeresh, said to him, "If indeed this Mordecai before whom you have begun to fall is Jewish, you will not prevail against him. No, you will surely fall before him." While they were still speaking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived. They quickly brought Haman to the banquet that Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman came to dine with Queen Esther. On the second day of the banquet of wine, the king asked Esther, "What is your request, Queen Esther?" "It shall be granted to you." "And what is your petition?" "Ask for up to half the kingdom, and it shall be done." Queen Esther replied, "If I have met with your approval, O king, and if the king is so inclined, grant me my life as my request, and my people as my petition. For we have been sold, both I and my people, to destruction and to slaughter and to annihilation. If we had simply been sold as male and female slaves, I would have remained silent, for such distress would not have been sufficient for troubling the king." Then King Ahasuerus responded to Queen Esther, "Who is this individual? Where is this person to be found who is presumptuous enough to act in this way?" Esther replied, "The oppressor and enemy is this evil Haman." Then Haman became terrified in the presence of the king and queen. Enraged, the king arose from the banquet of wine and withdrew to the palace garden. Meanwhile, Haman stood to beg Queen Esther for his life, for he realized that the king had now determined a catastrophic end for him. When the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet of wine, Haman was throwing himself down on the couch where Esther was lying. The king exclaimed, "Will he also attempt to rape the queen while I am still in the building?" As these words left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "Indeed, there is the gallows that Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke out on the king's behalf. It stands near Haman's home and is 75 feet high." The king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the very gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. The king's rage then abated. First Corinthians 12, 1 through 26. With regard to spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were often led astray by speechless idols, however you were led. So I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus is cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different results, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. For one person is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and another the message of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, performance of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, discernment of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. It is one and the same Spirit, distributing as He decides to each person, who produces all these things. For just as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so too is Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not a single member, but many. If the foot says, "Since I am not a hand, I am not part of the body," it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. And if the ear says, "Since I am not an eye, I am not part of the body," it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. If the whole body were an eye, what part would do the hearing? If the whole were an ear, what part would exercise the sense of smell? But as a matter of fact, God has placed each of the members in the body just as He decided. If they were all the same member, where would the body be? So now, there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I do not need you." Nor in turn can the head say to the foot, "I do not need you." On the contrary, those members that seem to be weaker are essential, and those members we consider less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our unpresentable members are clothed with dignity. But our presentable members do not need this. Instead, God has blended together the body, giving greater honor to the lesser member, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have mutual concern for one another. If one member suffers, everyone suffers with it. If a member is honored, all rejoice with it. Psalm 36. For the music director, an oracle written by the Lord's servant David. An evil man is rebellious to the core. He does not fear God, for he is too proud to recognize and give up his sin. The words he speaks are sinful and deceitful. He does not care about doing what is wise and right. While he lies in bed, he plans ways to sin. He is committed to a sinful lifestyle. He does not reject what is evil. O Lord, your loyal love reaches to the sky, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your justice is like the highest mountains, your fairness like the deepest sea. You, Lord, preserve mankind and the animal kingdom. How precious is your loyal love, O God! The human race finds shelter under your wings. They are filled with food from your house, and you allow them to drink from the river of your delicacies. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Extend your loyal love to your faithful followers and vindicate the morally upright. Do not let arrogant men overtake me, or let evil men make me homeless. I can see the evildoers. They have fallen. They have been knocked down and are unable to get up. Proverbs 21, 21 and 22. The one who pursues righteousness and love finds life, bounty, and honor. A wise man went up against the city of the mighty and brought down the stronghold in which they trust. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing us through another one of the weeks that we get to spend together, and all that you have deposited into our minds and hearts throughout this week. And even as we continue through this mighty story of the book of Esther, we see a mighty dramatic rescue. When all seemed hopeless, there you were in the middle of it. And we are encouraged because this has always been true. You are in the middle of it, and sometimes you call us for such a time as this. May we be awake and aware. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That's where you can find out what's happening. So find out what's happening anytime you want, anytime you can. Check out the Daily Audio Bible app as well. That puts everything very conveniently in the palm of your hand, and just so much more. Can track your progress as we navigate through the scripture. Just check it out. So much more. And the app is free. It can be found from the app store that works with your device. So check it out. And check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where to get connected on social media. This is where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are resources that can take us deeper into the locations of the Bible, or deeper into different aspects of our faith, or things to wear, things to journal with. The Daily Audio Bible Journal that we crafted over years to create the best journal, the right size, everything to just kind of carry around, at least in our opinion. All of our writing resources, because we definitely encourage journaling our way. If God's going to speak and we're going to spend a year in His Word, then we should probably write some things down that we need to remember. So all these kinds of resources can be found in the Daily Audio Bible Shop, so check it out. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. There would be no global campfire if we weren't here together. And thank God we are. And so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible prayer friends and friends. Oh my goodness. Brian, 14th of August this morning, I'm literally crying and in tears. Having come over from the United Kingdom to Africa and to minister, and have had my first encounter where people call you, you know, you're false. And when I initially had that, when someone messaged me as I was preparing to go and minister, I felt the disappointment of the Father on my heart. And I was saying, well, what do I do? Do I just stop ministering? Like, I don't want people to know me as false. But, you know, the Lord then said to me, it's because of fear. Because that person, that senior leader, was fearful because they were sitting with unforgiveness, and they were fearful of the territory that we were coming to take. But at the end of the day, we are all in it together as one. Then the harvest is plenty. There's so much going on. And so there's no need to have a fight about who's coming in. We've all got a job to do in a certain area that the Lord has called us into. And so for all those in leadership and in senior leadership who have had arrows thrown at them, I just want to bless you and honor you for the work that you have done. Brian, thank you so much for this word of encouragement. It was so needed. As we step out and as we push back the darkness here on the ground, it's certainly been a word that I have needed to hear as the Lord opens up doors for us in Africa. So I just want to bless you all. Thank you for this platform. I love you all. I always listen to your comments. And thank you to those who have been standing with us and praying for us. Prayers are definitely needed for us here on the ground. Bless you all. Bye.
Hello, DAB family. This is Joy Bubble from Pennsylvania calling to encourage Brother Ryan from Indiana. Ryan, I am a nursing student and just got married 2 months ago and had been trying to complete my onboarding requirements for fall semester. I was late in submitting my TB and physical tests, which ended up making it so that because of my program's policy, I couldn't continue on this fall with school. I have to wait until February now. And I have all this time opened up, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. I'm looking at jobs and, you know, praying and thinking about how God wants me to spend my time. But after listening to your prayer request, I was reading Romans 12, 1 to 2, and I just wanted to read that for you now. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I don't personally know that weight that comes with having to provide for a family like you do, but I do know what the Bible says, and it says that sometimes by testing, that's how you know and discern what is the will of God, that perfect, pleasing will. And I just pray that in this season, God will give you the perseverance to keep pressing in and asking what is his will, and that's my prayer for you today.
Morning, Dab family. It is Monday, August 14th. This is Jenny the Quilter. I have a couple of prayer requests today. First of all, a young man requested prayer for a family yesterday morning in church. They have a 3-year-old daughter named Amelia who is battling leukemia, and the doctors have given this little girl a short time to live. My devotional this morning discussed how often do we come to God asking for something big. I want you all to join me in asking for something big. Father God, please return Amelia to good health. Secondly, sadly, a young man who grew up in my community was found dead in his home. He comes from a large, loving family, and I know they are grieving terribly. Join me in praying for God to help them down this terrible road they are on. Thank you, Dab family, and the Harden family, for always being just a touch of a button away. Once again, this is Jenny the Quilter. Thank you for your prayers.
Good morning. Hey, DAB Dabbers. This is Gift of God calling in. Today, I'm calling in because a lot of the students have returned back to school. And I want to say a special prayer, and I would like for you to touch and agree with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, Father, for all the students, Lord God, from kindergarten, Lord God, to college. They have returned to school, Lord God. We ask you to put your arms of protection around them, Lord God. Father, we ask you that no weapon formed against them shall ever prosper, Lord God. Father, we ask that their minds are open to learn, Lord God. Give them this ability to understand and to comprehend everything, Lord God, that is given to them by their teachers. And Lord, we ask them to have an open mind, Lord God, to learn, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the food that they're about to receive, Lord God, even in school, Lord. Let it be nourishment to their bodies. Lord God, even the physical activity, Lord God, in physical ed, Lord, that they will be able to do that as well, Lord God, and provide a healthy environment, Lord God. Father, we just say thank you, Lord God, for all the teachers and the staff members and the school districts, Lord God, that they will be loving and caring, Lord God. Give them spiritual eyes, Lord God. Lord, let them have a mind of you, Lord God, the spirit of you in them, Lord God, as they teach our students, Lord God. Father God, if there's anything, Lord God, that is evil in that school, Lord, we ask you to remove it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, or touch their hearts, Lord God, that they will change. Father, we just say thank you, Lord God, even from the superintendent, Lord God. Father, we just say thank you, Lord God,